Going to turn in the Word of God this evening to 1 Samuel and chapter 22, and our text is verse 23. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 23. We did read from Matthew 12, and we'll be referring to that reading and passage, but our text, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 23. These are the words of David to Abiathar. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe. These are the words of David to a distressed young man, and they are easily transferable to the New Testament context. And you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites distressed people to himself. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And it's the echo, as it were, of this text in the New Testament that we shall explore, where David says, stay with me, do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe. Can be transferred to us and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are three things that I want us to look at this evening. Staying with Jesus and being sought, just as the Lord Jesus Christ's life was sought, and being safe with Jesus. Staying with Jesus, being hated and despised and sought for persecution reasons, like Jesus. And then realizing that with Jesus, we will be safe. I want to fill you in with the details of Abiathar and his distress before we move over to ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ's invitation to us. Abiathar had witnessed some terrible scenes just prior to coming to David. And those horrible things which Abiathar witnessed were all due to Saul's bitter hatred of David. Jonathan, David's son, was the first person after David to experience something of the hatred of Saul for David. Jonathan had made friends with David and was helping him as much as he could. Part of that help was to protect David from Saul's hatred. And so when there was a feast and David should have sat next to Saul, David felt that it would have been dangerous to attend the feast there with Saul, so he attends a feast with his family in Bethlehem and comes to hide in the field 3 days later. And he asks Jonathan to make his excuses to the king, King Saul. The first day, Saul didn't say anything. The second day of the feast, it was a 3-day feast, the second day of the feast, Saul begins to make inquiries. Where is David? And Jonathan is able to answer. He asked to be excused because he had a feast at Bethlehem and his family wanted him there. And then Saul, with his deep hatred of David, almost erupted in anger at Jonathan. He tells Jonathan, don't you realize that as long as David is alive, you will never sit on the throne after me? And then with the irrationality of a madman, Saul throws a spear at Jonathan to kill him. In one sentence, he wants to keep him alive and get David killed. In the next action, he is trying to kill him with a spear because he befriended David. Well, Jonathan felt he must warn David. And so they, as arranged, meet in the field. Jonathan shoots the arrows and he sends his lad, and the way the arrows are shot and the way that he instructs the lad to collect the arrows is a kind of secret message to David as to what had happened at the feast and how Saul had responded to his absence. And Jonathan says, "You have to hurry. You have to make an escape. You must go into hiding." And so Jonathan regretfully says farewell to his dearest friend. Doesn't know when he's going to see him again. David runs away first to a place called Nob, which is the place where the tabernacle was at that time set up. And there were a number of priests on duty there. And Ahimelech, that's Abiathar's father, was on duty. And he sees David coming, and he's quite uncomfortable. Probably because there was another guest at Nob called Doeg. And Doeg was very pro-Saul and very anti-David. And maybe in their conversations, Ahimelech had been talking with Doeg, and Doeg was saying how bad David was and how Saul hated him. And then David arrives on the scene, and Ahimelech, the priest, is afraid. He says, why have you come? And David explains that really his movements have been directed by Saul, and he has to keep his mission quite secret, so he can't explain the details. But he asks for help from Ahimelech. "Have you got any bread?" And the priest says, "Well, there's no bread here except the holy bread." It was a Sabbath day when David arrived, and every Sabbath day they replaced the show bread, the holy bread in the presence of God, with hot loaves. And so they just put the hot loaves in place before the Lord, and they'd taken the cold ones out. The priest hadn't eaten them yet, and that was the only bread available. But it was illegal under the Jewish law to give that to anyone else. But Ahimelech says, "Well, I'm sure the Lord won't mind if we give you the bread." So he gave him the loaves, plus another bonus, which David asked, "Have you got any weapons?" So, "Well, the only weapon we've got here is Goliath's sword. It's wrapped up and it's kept a special place. But you can have it if you can use it." And David took the sword and noticed that Doeg was there and realized that was not good. Well, from Nob, David fled to Gath, which was the country town of Goliath, a strange place to go, and he had to feign madness in order to escape from the clutches of the king. He then went back to Bethlehem to rescue his mother and father and his brothers. You can imagine Saul's hatred against David overspilling to his family. And how could Saul best get David back if he's gone into hiding, except by taking his parents hostage and say, "Well, I'll release them when David hands himself in." So David goes to rescue his parents before Saul gets to them, and he takes them to the king of Moab and asks the king of Moab to look after his parents until he knows how things are going to sort out under God's purposes for him. And then he returns to the cave of Adullam. It's a kind of stronghold cave in the countryside. And to him gather many, many people, about 400 men. Some of them are in debt. Saul, his reign meant that people were able to exploit others, and there were people who were in debt. There were people who were in distress. Saul could take people's lands and leave them, as it were, landless and penniless and without an income. Others joined David who were most discontent with Saul's reign. And there they are in the cave of Adullam. And there's a prophet who comes from time to time in the life of David, Gad the prophet. He speaks to David from God and says, "Do not stay in the stronghold. You must go into Judea." And David, accepting that as the word from the Lord, went into Judea. and he was in the forest of Hereth. Saul got wind of the news. David was on the move, and he misinterpreted it quite deliberately and used it against David. David is on the move. He's making a move to usurp the throne. And Saul gathers many people together and says, "Why don't you take pity on me? Here I am, the king, and I've got one of my subjects rising up against me. And none of you have told me about Jonathan's allegiance to David. And now David's on the move into Judea. He's coming to take the throne. Nobody's helping me." And he says to them, "Would David give you vineyards? Would David give you fields? I can, I'm the king. So if you want rewards, you better help me." And then Doeg, the man who saw David come for the bread and take the sword down at Nob, he stands forward, thinking to curry favor with Saul. He says, "I saw the son of Jesse. He went to Ahimelech at Nob, and Ahimelech the priest helped him." Well, that was not good news for him, Ahimelech. Saul summoned Ahimelech and all the priests and questioned them, cross-examined them. "Why did you help David?" And Ahimelech tries to explain, "Well, David is your most loyal servant. He goes out on missions for you, he accomplishes them. He's your most faithful servant, and he told me that his ways were being directed by you. It was a secret mission he was on, and he couldn't share the details. All I thought I was doing was helping the king's most faithful servant. I wasn't doing it in rebellion against your majesty. I was doing it to help David, who everybody knows has done so much for you." Saul didn't listen to the truth, and he ordered his men to kill all the priests. This is Abiathar's father, Ahimelech. None of the men would raise a finger against the Lord's priests, except Doeg. And that day, Doeg slew 85 men, the priests of Nob. Not content with that, he then went to Nob, the city itself, and destroyed every living thing there. Anything that moved was killed by Doeg and his men. Women, children, nursing infants, oxen, donkeys, sheep, all put to the edge of the sword. It was the annihilation of a village, the annihilation of the city. Only Abiathar escaped. And that's the kind of thing that Abiathar had witnessed as he fled to David. And David's advice to the distressed man was, "Stay with me. Don't be afraid. He who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you will be safe." How did Abiathar respond to the advice and the invitation? "Stay with you?" David had just told him in the previous verse, "I have been the cause of the death of your father. I've been the cause of the death of all the priests there at Nob. I've been the cause of the slaughter of all the people at Nob. But stay with me." David wasn't the immediate cause. He was the indirect cause. The immediate cause was Saul's hatred of David. But if David wasn't there, then those priests would still be alive. Stay with the one who was the cause of his father's execution. Stay with the one who was the cause of perhaps his mother and his brothers being killed. Was Abiathar hesitating? "Why would I stay with you?" David then helps him come to a decision. "He who seeks my life seeks your life, Why should you stay with me? Because he who seeks my life seeks your life. Saul was quite happy for all the priests of Nob to be slain, and he would not be happy if he knew that one of them had escaped. He would hunt him down as well as hunting David down. And so David encourages Abiathar to a decision to stay with him by saying, look, he who seeks my life seeks your life. If you don't stay with me, if you go off out on your own, you will be betrayed to Saul. You will be killed by Saul. He will seek you and hunt you down if he ever gets an understanding that you've escaped. Abiathar can think on that. And David, as it were, helps him to a final decision. With me, you shall be safe. David is confident that God will preserve him from all the hatred of Saul, from all the plots of Saul. He is confident at this time that, yes, God would preserve him and preserve Abiathar if Abiathar stays with him. Stay with me. Do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you will be safe. Abiathar, what did he do? Well, he stayed with David. And he stayed with David for the whole of David's life. He is there when David is dying. And he was loyal to David up to that point. But as long as he stayed with David, he was safe. Certainly saved from Saul, who sought his life. Now, it's interesting to think on how the Lord Jesus Christ would have read passages like this from the Old Testament. And he certainly read them. And he saw many parallels between David and himself. The Saul-David struggle, Saul's bitter hatred of his perceived enemy, and David's genuine love for his enemy are a picture to us of the conflict that there is between the world and the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity. You remember that Saul is king because Israel wanted a king just like the world. And that's what God gave them. He gave them a king that was just like the kings of the world. And the world hates God and God's king. The world has been rejected by God. And God has a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is king of that kingdom. When Saul, representing the world, knew of David, the potential new king, it was all hatred towards David. And Jesus, as he read of this, would have understood that he, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the heir to David's eternal throne, would be hated by the world. And he told the disciples, John 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 16 verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John later in his letter says, 1 John 3 verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. There is this conflict between Christ, Christianity, and the world. They are not on friendly terms. Whoever is a friend of the world does not have the love of the Father in their heart. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. The question then would be, are we like Doeg? Doeg was pro Saul. He was pro-world and its ungodliness. Or will we be like Abiathar, who was pro-David and safe with David? The Lord Jesus Christ is also like David, because David, when he came to the cave of Adullam, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented with the reign of Saul, they fled to David. He was the rising alternative king. And the Lord Jesus Christ is like that. He is the alternative king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he welcomes people. Come unto me, all of you who are weary or are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me and you will find rest for your souls. And he could have read about David and how David didn't turn away any of the people who came to him in their debt. He didn't turn away any of the people who came to him in their distress. He didn't turn away any of the people who were distressed at the way Saul was running things. He welcomed them. He cared for them. He looked after them and provided for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the great son of David, the true king, he welcomes people. He doesn't drive people away. And then, as Jesus read about David, he would have done so with personal reflection. He would have read about how David was God's chosen one. How Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has rejected you, the Lord has chosen a neighbor of yours to be king. A man after his own heart." And then the Lord Jesus Christ could have read about Samuel going to David and anointing him with oil. And as he is anointed with oil, the Holy Spirit comes upon David from that day forward. And maybe he reflected upon that as he came forward to his own baptism, when, rising up out of the water, God opens heaven, as it were, and speaks directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he pours out the Holy Spirit in his fullness upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed, chosen King. We read it there, didn't we, in Matthew 12, quoting Isaiah. "Behold, my servant, in whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul delights, I will put my spirit upon him." And the Lord Jesus Christ could reflect on the things of David and apply them to himself. He could read of David's great works, the conquest of the giant, the Philistine, the bringing down of the giant, and the joy that he brought to Israel. And then the Lord Jesus Christ did his own mighty works. Again, you can read them in Matthew 12. The Sabbath day, the man with the withered hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ simply says to him, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out. It was restored, whole as the others. And then a little later on, verse 22 of Matthew 12. "There was one brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. He healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw." The multitudes spoke and said, "Could this be the Son of David doing these great things?" But just as the conquest of the giant caused many people to rejoice and sing the praises of David, it also stimulated the hatred of Saul. So the bringing down of the giant meant that Saul was now determined to kill David, because David was a competitor. And the Pharisees, when they saw the mighty works of Jesus, we read there in Matthew 12, verse 14, the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. How the Lord, reading these passages of the scripture, also delighted to read of Ahimelech, the priest who gave him the bread. Now there was a priest who knew his God. Jesus, when he's challenged with his disciples for eating grain on the Sabbath day, he says to them, Matthew 12 and verse 3, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." And as Jesus read about Ahimelech, there's a man who understands the mercy of God. Yes, it was the Sabbath day. What's David doing roaming around the country on secret missions for the king on the Sabbath day? And this bread, we've just changed it. Hot bread in and the cold loaves not yet eaten by the priests. The law says it should be for the priests, not for anybody else. And Ahimelech, as he thinks about it, he's convinced that God would rather share those loaves in mercy with poor, hungry David and his hungry men than deny them the food. God of mercy. And as Jesus read about Ahimelech, so what a wonderful thing. God, the God of mercy. "If only you'd known that," Jesus said, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless." That's not to say that God doesn't desire sacrifice to deal with sin. He absolutely requires a sacrifice to deal with sin. Your sin, my sin, cannot be removed without the shedding of blood. The wages of sin is death. You will either suffer that death yourself, or there will be a sacrifice that you trust to save you from that death. And God requires a sacrifice. In his mercy, he has given the one sacrifice that takes away sin. When Jesus says, "If only you knew what it meant, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless." The context is in where the Pharisees, with all their religion, think of their service to God as a kind of sacrifice to him. And through all their sacrifices, they would earn merit before God. And they'd missed the message of God's mercy. And they were working through their sacrifices and their offerings. They sacrificed and tied mint and anise and other things. And through their sacrifices, they were wanting to earn merit with God. God doesn't desire meritorious sacrifices from human beings. The one sacrifice that God required was the death of his son. God does not want the shame of appearing to be bought, bribed. "Forgive me, God. And here's a few sacrifices to sort of pay for my forgiveness." That is insulting to God. He doesn't want the shame of being bought with people's sacrifices. He wants the glory of his mercy in freely forgiving people through the sacrifice of his son. And you and I are to trust that sacrifice of Jesus Christ and give glory to God that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was killed. He did die on Calvary. But he is risen from the dead. And he still says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are weary and are heavy laden. All of you who are under the reign of the world are wearied with it all." And the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, speaks to us the same words that David said to Abiathar in Abiathar's distress. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me, you will be safe. Stay with me. That's Jesus' call to you and his call to me. Come unto me, all of you. Come to me. Take refuge in me. Stay with me. Jesus says in John 15, abide in me and I in you. Stay close to me. Live in me, as it were, and I will live in you. He also tells us, he who seeks my life seeks your life. The world and its hatred of Christ. Saul and his hatred of David. Saul also hated Abiathar and would seek Abiathar's life. The world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, Satan. Paul in Ephesians 2 says that the course of this world is actually directed by the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the people of the world. Satan is hostile to God. Satan directs the world. And you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was, in one sense, the victim of the world's hatred of God, the victim of Satan's hatred of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 22, verse 53, as Jesus is going to his death, he says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. You remember that Judas betrayed Jesus as Satan put it into his heart to betray him, and as Satan entered into him. The world is no friend of God. Psalm 2 tells us, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They hate God. They want to throw off God's law, throw off God's kingdom. They want the kingdom of the world to be their domain. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls to us, as we live in this dark world, this sinister world where there's evil at work. And he says, come unto me. Don't be afraid. Come to me. I know the world despises Christians. I know that Christians are being persecuted and put to death all over the world. But still, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Stay with me. He who seeks my life, Satan, who sought the death of Jesus Christ, seeks your death. He who seeks my life seeks your life. Satan, Jesus says, was a liar from the beginning. He didn't abide in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning. The more people Satan can carry with him down to the dark pit of hell, the happier he will be. Though he will have no happiness when God's judgment comes fully upon him. But that's his intention, to take people down with him. And Jesus quite clearly can say, he who sought my life seeks your life. Satan, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat, to take you down. Peter, writing in his letter, says we all ought to be sober, we all ought to be vigilant, because Satan, like a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he may devour. He seeks your life. Make no mistake about it. He tempts you into sin. He'd bring you under the wrath of God. He'd take you down with him to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ echoes, as it were, the words of David. He who seeks your life seeks my life. Or he who seeks my life seeks your life. Now that helped Abiathar make his decision to stay with David. If he didn't come to David, then the one who sought David's life would seek him. If you do not come to Jesus Christ, then understand this, Satan is after you. He who brought Jesus to the cross, to the betrayal of Judas, and the sneers and the hatred that he'd stirred up in the world against Jesus, he seeks your life. And if you don't come to Jesus and you're going to go it on your own, Satan, as it were, will get you and take you down to hell with himself. Stay with me, David said to Abiathar. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. David said to Abiathar, with me you will be safe. And the Lord Jesus Christ can guarantee our eternal safety. He is the great shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He says, my sheep come unto me, they hear my voice, they come, I give to them eternal life, and no one is able to pluck them out of my hand. And no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor things present, things past, there's nothing in the whole of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. With Christ you will be safe. Satan cannot get you when you're safe with Christ. Even the wrath of God against sinners will not get you when you take refuge in Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Christians who are being slaughtered across the world, even tonight, they're not separated from the love of God. They are safe in the hands of Jesus, safe through death itself, safe on to eternal life. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. So these words of David, the advice to a distressed young man. He'd seen what the world does in hatred of the things of God. And it was horrible and distressing. And he fled to David, and David said, stay with me. Do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe. The world has not changed in its hatred of God and of the great David's greater son, Jesus Christ. The world still rises up in horrible, persecuting hatred of Christ and kills Christians. But Jesus still says, come to me. Don't be afraid. He who seeks my life, he who was behind the death of Jesus Christ, seeks the life of everybody else to take them down. But with Jesus, you will be safe. He's conquered sin, he's conquered Satan, he's conquered death, he has satisfied the wrath of God. In him there is peace and righteousness and joy and the eternal kingdom. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. With me, you will be safe. Abiathar stayed with David. Are you going to come to Jesus Christ, to his kingdom? We're going to stay with the kingdom of the world. ruled by Satan, who's a liar, cheat, deceiver, and it will all crumble and you will go down to hell with him? Or will you come to Jesus Christ? With me, Jesus says, you will be safe. In one sense, it's an obvious choice to make, to come to Jesus. But Satan doesn't want it. So he will argue with you. I once met a goatherd in Africa and asked him about his testimony. He said as a young boy he'd come off the hills looking after the goats, and he came into the village absolutely starving, hungry, one Saturday evening, and in the village there was an evangelistic meeting, and the people hauled him in off the street into the evangelistic meeting. And he says as soon as he entered the building, he came under conviction of sin. And the man preached, and he preached that there was salvation for sinners through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And immediately he began to see that that was the truth. But he said, all that night he wrestled. He could hear Christ, as it were, clearly saying, come unto me. And then he could hear Satan, as it were, saying to him, don't dare go, don't dare go. All night he wrestled with it. And so although the choice is quite clear and simple, if you're going to save your eternal soul, you must come to Jesus. It's as simple as that. You must trust Jesus to save you. But although it's so simple, Satan makes it so complicated, and he will tell you a whole pack of lies. Don't. And he will try to drown out Jesus' kind, merciful voice. Come, stay with me. Don't be afraid. With me you will be safe. The Lord's voice will triumph. Listen to him. And say, as it were, Lord Jesus, will you silence Satan's voice for me? And speak, I pray thee, gentle Jesus. Your accent so mild, melodious, speak peace to my soul. Lord Jesus, I come. Save me and keep me. I want to stay with you. I want to be on your side in your kingdom. And I know I can trust you to keep me safe. I will be safe with you. Lord Jesus, hear my prayer.